And we're back. This is the Taylor Report. I don't know if I can identify that. So it sounded nice. And were we going to be talking to Ann Garrison? We're working on calling her. So when we get her, I'll be the first to tell you. I will tell you that you ought to be reading Ann Garrison. She's published, you can find her articles, SanFranciscoBayview.com, it's SFBayview.com. Though I bet if you wrote SanFranciscoBayview.com, I bet it would come up. She also writes for the Black Agenda Report, and she's had a number of good articles recently. We'll try to put them up on the our Facebook page because Anne has very conscientiously followed the story of the events in Rwanda and the type of leader they have and the mysterious intimate relations between Bill Clinton and Benjamin Netanyahu Mavuni. My goodness, I'm Museveni. I used to know the man so close. I actually was in the same room with him. Anyway, Museveni, all have a very special relationship. And Anne is one of the people who has followed it and noticed it. And but we hope to be bringing her. But in the meantime, I'm going to tell you why I think her latest report is so important. We talked last week on the show about the young woman, Diane Rwigara, and she is the daughter. She lives in Rwanda, which makes her story so remarkable. She lives in Rwanda, and she has challenged publicly Paul Kagame's leadership. There was a thing called the election, and she notified the world that she was going to, while living in Rwanda, was going to run for president. And the first thing that happened to her was that as soon as she said it, of course, the world noticed. They said, there's somebody inside Rwanda who's actually going to challenge this guy who's been known to kill people and speak very, actually say that he, no matter where you go in the world, he'll find you. I mean, this is a vicious character. And it's true. He knows Bill Clinton personally, which I think he thinks is an insurance policy. And Clinton loves him, and he loves him back. I love love stories. And he's even fond of Obama, and Obama's fond of him. Another insurance policy. So anyhow, she, Diane Rwigara, had the temerity to say she would run. So immediately in Rwanda, nude photographs were published of her. That was the first reaction. All over the net, there was a photograph of her, nude. And that was the way they handled it. It's like, we see her naked. And that's the end of her presidency, right? It's amazing. I love the, we need Freud on this, or maybe Wilhelm Reich, to tell us what is going on in the minds of these guys. They think, what has this got to do with politics? By the way, if you got any pictures of Bill Clinton, we'd all appreciate. This is the story. And so she, of course, was not permitted to run. And then they said, they made up a bunch of reasons. Now, she comes from the inner circles in Rwanda. The reason she had the temerity, she comes from circles that are used to getting a little bit of respect in society. And, of course, her father had once been someone who gave Paul Kagame money, a lot of money, so that he could arm himself and kill people. And, by the way, I think this is something, Phil, a phone call, that if you would take that outside, we may get to the bottom of our mystery here. Quickly answer that, if you would. Thank you. We think we might have gotten Ann Garrison on my personal phone. About Rwigara, Diane Rwigara, and her candidacy, the next thing that happens, the thing that always happens, which is that she was found her house surrounded and her power cut off, And she and her mother and other members of the family were basically under arrest, but not in the bed. Some people say, oh, she's perfectly safe. Nobody's perfectly safe. If the authorities cut your power, cut your phone lines, you're already a prisoner. Any baloney about your not, you know, because the original story told here by, I think, David Himbara and others, as conscientiously as they could, when somebody disappears, you say, well, where is the person and what are their circumstances? They said, oh, look, she's at her house. If you're surrounded by police and you can't use a phone, you're more you're in more danger than if you were in a jail. Because if somebody says they're in the jail, that's part of habeas corpus. That means that's where they are. It means they are in somebody's hands. They're being held. But in this case, that wasn't clarified. I see a thumb indicating that we might actually have the journalist, Ann Garrison, on the line. Are you there, Ann?
Yes, I am, and I'm sorry I forgot to turn the phone on.
Oh,
I was charging it.
It's perfectly natural. People turn their phone off.
And then I started reading something regarding what we were going to talk about,
yeah,
which is an interview that I did with a Korean peace activist and scholar resident in the U.S., KJ No. It's a piece mm-hmm. that's in the Black Agenda Report, Locked and Loaded, War with North Korea Cannot Be Contained, but Must Be Prevented.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really comprehensive history of relations between Korea and the Koreas, Korea then the Koreas, uh-huh. and the U.S.
Yeah. Well, that would be interesting. As you know, we're going to ask you about Rwanda.
Yes, of course. Of course.
By the way, I've just been explaining to people, you are an independent journalist based in the San Francisco Bay Area. The articles
right.
you've written, I read today's really great, great journalism, and I got to compliment you. It's sfbayview.com. Please go and read these articles, too, on the case of Kagame versus the Diane Rwigara, but also we want to say talk about Victoire Ingabire, and I may as well just lay out our agenda. We also want to ask you about the way people do comment on Kagame. I know you are one of those who believes that some are reckless in comparing him to other figures in politics. But let's start with the latest news on these two women. And I insist, I know you do, we cannot talk about Diane Rwigara and her courage and the fact that she's now in a really dangerous place because nobody can quite figure out the circumstances, only because she ran for president against Paul Kagame. But then there's also Victoire Ingabire. So let's actually, your article brings us up to date on Victoire, who's been in prison for 7 years. She has some problems. What are those problems that are facing her now as a prisoner?
Well, it seems that 10 members of her party there in Kigali have been arrested, which means there's no one to deliver food to her in prison, as they have been for years, because they have concerns for several reasons about her eating food provided by the prison there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're in this strange situation. I know many who have been, who are in prison in Rwanda, and I hate to say that. We ought to also be calling for the freedom of all political prisoners, which would number yes. in the tens of thousands. But that is that their friends and family have to deliver the food to them. As many of them are
right.
not fed. Your friends have to bring you your food. And she has special needs, right?
Yeah. Apparently she requires some special diet medically. But I know there are also anxieties simply about what she might be fed in 1930 prison,
mm-hmm.
if it were left to prison authorities.
Mm-hmm.
Several days ago, well, it was just Saturday when I spoke to Joseph Bukeye, an officer of her party, in Brussels, he said that she had not eaten for 3 days.
Mm-hmm. As I read your article, they arrested the people who were bringing the food.
Yeah, yeah. They arrested everyone at their party office, mm-hmm. and they've released three, the driver, security guard, and house worker.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But the seven officials of the party are still in prison, and as of Saturday, they had not eaten either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this, and of course, the vanguard of human rights, Washington, and their little vanguard in Ottawa, their ambassadors don't call and ask about the treatment of her, do they?
No, instead they're pushing for the ICC to indict the Burundian president and or other Burundian officials for crimes against humanity, which the UN Human Rights Commission has reported on, although the UN Human Rights Commission is itself a gallery of UN human rights abusers. Last year, Burundi announced its intention to withdraw from the ICC, from the jurisdiction of the ICC, and the rules of that court are that it required a year's time to complete the withdrawal, and that will be completed on October 18th.
Mm-hmm. So
suddenly there's this push to indict Burundi.
They have been doing this for some time. By the way, in credit to the Burundian resistance, they really haven't been that successful, have they? I mean, Kagame, if we were doing this interview a year ago, the heat was really on Burundi, with Kagame openly, brazenly harboring people who had used armed warfare against the Burundian government. It would look like they were going to overthrow the government of Burundi. Now that they didn't succeed.
There was someone who worked for the UNHCR who was doing work in the refugee camps in Rwanda, interviewing Burundian refugees, who said that they had been threatened and or forcibly recruited into a rebel army to go back and try to overthrow the government of Burundi.
Yeah, and now that somewhere that's going to be Burundi is making its own case against Rwanda, and that's being heard, right? That's going to be heard.
Now this is something perhaps I don't know about. In what venue?
My understanding is that they have brought that to either the African states or to perhaps UN. I shouldn't speak out of school. I'll look into it. But on the main theme here is that, yes, Rwanda still wants to unload its own crisis onto Burundi. But they now have two highly visible individuals, Victoire Ingabire and Diane Wigara, that the world is beginning to notice. And again, by the way, thanks to your writing and Black Agenda Report and the San Francisco Bay View.com. Really, our biggest. I noticed you did an interview with Joseph Bouquet of the FDU hyphen in Kingi.
Right.
And you asked him what the best thing to do was about this. You tell us what his answer was to that?
Well, he said to turn to the press, try to get press attention to the situation. Ask governments to demand that the prisoners are given due process, fair trials. And he particularly emphasized the U.S. and the U.K. because the U.S. is donor number one to Rwanda, U.K. is donor number two.
Yeah, you have an excellent article called Bill Clinton's Favorite African, Paul Kagame, that's very true. The reason there hasn't been this attention, of course, is the pressure from the U.S. But, I'm going to suggest, Anne, that one way we ought to take your article from all of our listeners, take the sfbayview.com article about the situation of the two women who've challenged Kagame, and just send it to the local media and say, why don't you just print this? It's an excellent article. That would be a good place to start, would it not?
Well, it's a thought. This part of the world is still very remote to most Americans, and so that might be. a difficult argument to make. I think perhaps less so in Ontario there, because the Rwandan and Congolese communities seem to have a more visible presence there.
Mm-hmm.
That's my impression.
Well, but, yes, and we've had Mr. David Himbara, who himself had his, you know, was told by Canadian authorities, British authorities, that Kagame was a threat to his life. And he does live here, and he is known and heard from. And so I think you're right. I think the climate has changed, and perhaps we could get – but I still would tell the local press, just take the Ann Garrison article as the starting point. You know, it would be the thing to do.
Well, yeah, and you have to make the point that this is a longstanding ally. Why should we care about this? Because this is a longstanding U.S. ally, and because the U.S. is donor number one to the country doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding Rwanda and Burundi, I think I remember what you may have been referring to about the venue in which Burundi has been making its case. That is the African Union. Mm-hmm. The African Union refused to support a multilateral African force going into Burundi in, I think it was 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And now, again, they've opposed Burundi's indictment for crimes against humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So it will, because the AU has said they won't support this.
Yes.
If the ICC indicts Burundi before October 18th, it will be a blatantly imperial act.
Yes, yes. Well, by the way, again, this is Ann Garrison, and an independent journalist in the San Francisco Bay Area. She is the winner of the Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza Democracy and Peace Prize, given in Brussels, very deservedly. And you've outlined the case. This is very important to remember. The Paul Kagame government is responsible for endless crimes, starting in 1990 with the invasion of Rwanda. It was a story that's not been properly told. But through the cases of Wigara, Diane Wigara, and of Victoire Ingabire, if properly researched, would lead to that revelation. People killed in Congo and Rwanda and various other places, Burundi. But Anne, I got to ask you, you have a concern and I share it, which is, people writing about want to emphasize how bad they think Paul Kagame is. Some of them will begin to use words like, oh, he's like the leader of Iran, or he's like the leader of North Korea. And I know that this has troubled you. Can you outline why?
Well, sure. I haven't heard the Iran statement, but I have heard this comparison to Kim Jong-un a number of times, especially since the election. Kagame won, quote-unquote, won 99% of the vote. Well, mm-hmm. supposedly Kim Jong-un did as well in North Korea, and I'm not even sure if anyone runs against Kim Jong-un on the ballot, but this is a radically different kind of comparison. You're comparing a U.S. ally who has been supported militarily, politically, diplomatically for decades, meaning Kagame, and the leader of a nation that has been under siege by the U.S. and its colonial allies, most notably Japan, mm-hmm. since the mid-19th century.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Korea has been in a defensive crouch, in danger of being hit with a nuclear weapon
mm-hmm.
since 1953.
Yeah.
And so to read the whole history of that, I would recommend this piece in the Black Agenda Report, also in Counterpunch, Locked and Loaded, War with North Korea Cannot Be Contained but Must Be Prevented, an interview with KJ No. And I also would urge you to have KJ on the show at some point. I mean, this is a brand new
article just out today.
No, this was actually published on the 16th.
On the 16th.
But this threat to annihilate North Korea is ongoing.
Yes.
Trump said that He threatened them with fire and fury like the world has never seen. And then, let's see, I'm trying to remember exactly what John McCain threatened them with recently. It was either annihilation or extermination, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all talk this amazing language. And, you know, for people trying to help themselves on, you know, on the making a point about Paul Kagame, this, you know, these are just two very different things. I mean, in the case of Korea, as you point out, this is a direct U.S. Nuclearized confrontation with a state, whereas in the case of Rwanda, you have a sponsored dictator who invades his neighbors with impunity.
And by the comparison, you're buying into the demonization mm-hmm. of North Korea,
yes.
which is being used as an argument to go to war with North Korea, and as an argument for the constant war games on the
yes.
North Korean-South Korean border, and for even conceivably using tactical, strategic nuclear weapons, should there be such mm-hmm. a thing.
Yeah, wouldn't you say it's also a form of pandering? It's almost like saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be with me doing this other thing. Somehow it would be okay. If we could agree that they were the same thing, then the U.S. could be against them both.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the argument. It's an argument of a coward or a weakling, I would say. Kind of a bizarre. I decided to throw that out. That people who would argue that way are actually somewhat cowardly. They're trying to find a shortcut, easy argument. And when you take shortcuts, you pay the price.
Well, I think the people who've made this argument, whom I've heard, are all arguing with good intent. And they see the hypocrisy. They see the hypocrisy that the U.S. continues to support Kagame and threatens Kim Jong-un mm-hmm. and North Korea with annihilation.
Yeah.
But there's a much more applicable comparison and hypocrisy right next door
mm-hmm.
in that the U.S. keeps focusing on alleged human rights abuse in Burundi and now pushing for an ICC ICC indictment, mm-hmm. whereas it ignores the human rights abuse that's gone on for decades, including invasion, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and even genocide, as was described in the 2010 UN mapping report on human rights in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, mm-hmm. which described the Rwandan army's massacre of hundreds of thousands of Hutu refugees in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which it said would be tried as genocide were it ever brought to trial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, Kagame has powerful friends to make sure
not going to be brought to trial.
He's never brought to trial. Yeah, and Bill Clinton's excuse when this is brought up is that, well, it hasn't been adjudicated. It hasn't been adjudicated because he made absolutely sure it never would be. He's managed to thus far.
Yes, he's very tight with Tony Blair and Bill Clinton, and if they can get out of jail, he can.
Yeah.
This is
exactly.
Ann Garrison. The article, by the way, the title is Kagame Cracks Down Hard in Rwanda, Victoire Ingabire in Danger. That's September 9 this year. And, Anne, it's always great talking to you, and we look forward to talking to you again. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Bill. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Taylor Report, CIUT. You can write to us at facebook.com/TheTaylorReport. And on SoundCloud, what is it, Phil?
SoundCloud.com/TaylorReport with a hyphen in between Taylor and Report. Taylor-Report.
Well, hyphen in our spare time.
Hyphen in our spare time. Absolutely.
And Phil, what is that about the streaming?
The Streamathon on Sunday from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's an online fundraising campaign for a different bookless cultural center. And go to their website, adbcc.org, and get all the details. But basically, we want you to give $300,000 on Sunday.
300,000.
300,000. That's towards 2 million.
But call, give it to him early so that
right,
we can,
that's right.
So we can all watch baseball, not football.
So the tension will all be relieved. No, don't watch any football on Sunday. There'll be good baseball games on. The Dodgers are collapsing. Yes. Houston is collapsing.
Are they really?
They really are. They keep losing.
This is just in, folks.
I mean, they're still ahead by a dozen games, but
a few more gray hairs. But the Dodgers collapsed again.
They have not won in a week or more, right? And they're playing the Giants tonight. That'll be
all right. One exception to the boycott rule: you can watch Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers. That's permitted. And please object to the. Confederate loving moron Hank Williams Jr. being returned as a Monday night guy. We got so many reasons not to watch, including concussions. The former NFL players all have amazing problems. Some of my favorite heroes, guys I admired growing up, and I read about them, and they say they don't even know their own names.
Yeah. You know, there's a story out there that isn't really being covered, but many, many high schools in the United States and Canada now are canceling football programs because they consider them too
dangerous.
I'm
actually glad to hear that. Yeah. And I want you to know that Ted Schmidt has a new book, The Season, by Ted Schmidt. When the 1967 Mimico Marauders dominated Toronto high school basketball. It's, of course, a political story as well as a basketball story. The coach, I think, was Ted Schmidt. And there's a new book, of course, David Himbara, Kagame's Killing Fields. And you got to get a copy of that. That's at the different book list. And I think we have done what we can do. Francois has been looking after us. Thanks very much. And we'll see you next week.